It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Randy Dye.
I am Joe Linebarry.
And believe it or not, soon, not tonight, but I would say certainly within the next couple weeks, if not next week, Billy Osborne will be back.
That's exactly right.
It's, I guess the other couple weeks ago, he said, this is a bittersweet moment that Billy was leaving and going away, and we wished him well. But tonight, I think, is another one of those bittersweet moments because, Billy went to Tennessee. He put all his faith and confidence in the organization that he was going to go with, and packed his stuff and moved and resigned his position with his employer there in Orange City.
And the racetrack as well.
And the racetrack. And they got there, and the deal, not Billy's part, but the deal that he had, that the two people buying the Speedway, it blew up at the closing table. And so Billy's on his way back home right now. I talked to him just as I was walking in, and he's kind of down, a little disappointed. But I could tell you this, that the local racing community that we live in is going to be better because he's back.
Yeah, and we're happy.
I can't help but say that.
But, you know, what we need to just make everybody realize, Billy still has all of his dignity. He went up there, of course, the position that he was applying for, that he was in, I should say, was not affected. I mean, he was there to run that racetrack and bring his talent, his knowledge of what he knows, how to run a short track. He didn't get the opportunity to do that simply because the business side of this, like Randy said, it just didn't happen. Nonetheless, it's not even a matter of Billy having to come back. And, you know, we've talked about this all day, with close personal friends, and not even a case of having to eat crow.
No.
Billy, not at all. And Billy will have, he has all of his doors still open. He left the right way. And from what I'm just saying, folks, is from our side of the table here, we are welcoming Billy back, not only here to this racing program, but certainly into the Florida short track racing community, no doubt about it.
Well, you know, you think about, talk about Billy and racing here locally, the amount of experience that he has, the amount of, he's done just about all the jobs at the racetrack, the number of people that he knows. And I'm not going to say that everybody in the world loves Billy Osborne, but I'm going to say just about everybody I know respects him. He's a fair racetrack director, official operations person. I know that he can command, and not militarily speaking, the respect of other employees and other associates. So I'm disappointed only to the extent that I know that his heart hurts a little bit about this, but from a personal standpoint, I think it's great he's back in our backyard.
Our arms are open. Yeah. I hear you. And you know, like I said, he has all the dignity, but Billy actually at one point today, we talked several times as Randy did, but he actually said, Joe, I'm done with motorsports.
Yeah,
he said, whoa, back up. And I pulled the phone away from him. I looked at it. I put it back. I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, I was involved with Putnam. It didn't happen. I said, that wasn't your fault. You had nothing to do with it. He said, now I was involved with this one, and it never even took off. I said, again, Billy, it has nothing to do with you.
Well, I think the deal there is, and how do I say this gracefully? I'd say that Billy's passion, which is attractive to many people, and his knowledge and his respect really is something that will have a lot of people wanting his talent and wanting his capabilities. And unfortunately, on these two occasions that we're talking about, the other people, for a variety of reasons, weren't able to weren't able to succeed. It wasn't loss. Billy who didn't succeed.
It's their loss, quite frankly.
Yeah. So
and the people he's currently involved with are still looking for a racetrack. And Billy will be there. He'll be there.
I'll
ask him.
Yeah, I'm not so
he'll
sure. That, yeah, I think Billy's going to – I think this probably is going to – I'm hoping that he lands a position in the local racing community that's deserving of his – of his expertise,
Randy,
his talents.
I want him back at Volusia, man, so don't even, okay? Come on. He's coming back to Volusia on Saturday night.
Start the bidding war. It sounds like he can get on with it, but definitely a talented guy. And
bottom line, so glad that he is back. I've missed him. The week has seemed like a year to me, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, you were in such mourning last week.
Didn't
you
even show up.
Solo here.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I get here, and I look at Mark, and I said, where is everybody? And he said, you're it, bud.
Mark said you were none too happy.
I was kind of like, I was numb.
Yeah, and not because
numb,
I wasn't
and I was numb, Joe, okay?
Right, we'll leave it there.
Right.
Oh, man. A lot of racing took place, Randy, over the weekend, not only in the short track ranks, but I do hope you'll give me a quick opportunity later in the program to talk about the all-new IndyCar Series.
Okay. Yeah, that's worth it.
It really is. And this was their first event at Texas Motor Speedway. Very interesting. Interestingly enough, Scott Dixon did pick up the win, and all of the Champ Car drivers way in the back. So they are already having a tough time learning this chassis and motor combination.
Well, I don't think everybody's made the switch yet.
No, they haven't.
It's kind of like, in a way, this reminds me a little bit like the at the World Series of Asphalt here in February at New Smyrna, where you used to have the SK modifieds run with the Tour Type modifieds. Then they ran at the same time, had a race within a race, because you had similar cars, but not exactly the same car.
That's what they're going through here.
And it's, you know, and rarely could an SK car run with a Tour Type car.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's what you're seeing here.
Good event nonetheless, and we'll talk about that as the night progresses. We had a great night at Volusia, I'll tell you. We had well over 100 cars in six divisions, and very exciting, and we'll tell you all about that as well.
They had a, you know, pretty good night out at New Smyrna. They had this extreme modified race, and, you know, the local hero, Tank Tucker, rides again, and he wasn't even in an extreme modified. He's in his Florida modified.
Wow.
Not win. It was win by a long ways. So that's something we can talk about a little bit later.
Really stunk it up, huh?
Yeah. How about you know, speaking of stinking it up, that's what a great segue.
Yeah, I knew it.
Okay, you're just perfect. Somebody, Kyle Busch, you know, at Martinsville in a truck. Just barrels off in there, it wipes out Johnny Benson, who was going to finish second or third, one way or the other, and they both end up in the back. And Kyle Busch's attitude, you know, it's one thing to do something stupid, but it's another thing to be so cavalier and nonchalant about it. And he's deflecting now. This whole story is, you've heard it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is it's the crew guys. Yeah. You know, those guys are really being dumb. Because they're wanting to fight. Well, how many races can you change the outcome of, and how much equipment, other people's equipment, can you bend?
Yeah.
And, you know, back to the point, these other guys are running for points, and Kyle Busch could care less.
Yeah, you're right. Especially the truck.
He could care less.
Not even a nationwide dude.
You know, it's a really cool story for the first three or four events of the year that you got the same guy
leading
all the points. Yeah. So what? You know, but he's not racing for a truck championship.
But Randy, it's Kyle Busch. It's okay.
That's
exactly the impression that I get. Not only from him, his team, his owner, but the press, the people talking about him. Whether it's radio, whether it's newspaper, electronic, print media, television, it's okay. It's Kyle Busch. Hey, let's call him Rowdy. That's a free pass.
Yeah, Rowdy, or what do they call him? What's the other one they call him? Shrub.
Yeah.
Big deal. You know, I mean,
I was gaining a lot of respect for this young man. I really was thinking, okay, look at this guy. He's really getting up on the wheels, really starting to show a lot of patience, a lot of performance and patience. And then he pulls this. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Here's what there's a lot of professional athletes that are, in terms of talent, and you know, backing up, Kyle Busch is extremely talented. you know, maybe I'd say I think you could make a pretty good argument for quite possibly the most talented driver in NASCAR today. Okay, I can't argue that point. But his attitude, his mentality, his lack of respect for anybody is just, I mean, it just drives me crazy. I can't stand to listen to him because he has the same lack of respect when he speaks as he does when he drives a race car. And it's, you know, there are other professional athletes in other sports who are similar, honestly. I don't understand why ability has to come with this major chip on one shoulder, because he's got one.
And, yeah, he does. He definitely does. And his brother, I mean, Kurt has settled down a lot. Of course, he is kind of comfortable in his situation. But
he works just fine, except when the 20 gets around him.
Or when his brother gets around him. He shot his brother around yesterday. Sent him reeling on a 360, but whatever. It's Martinsville.
It's Martinsville. It's a little
and
bit.
It wasn't intentional. And Kyle was able to recover, and everything was fine. But I don't know what to say. It's only going to get worse.
Well, you know, we go back to this point. You and I are sitting here talking, and we didn't have to come in here and dream anything up to talk about, because we have the Kyle Busches of the world to help us and to give us stuff to talk about.
Exactly.
And I, on one hand, from the sports standpoint, where personalities and characters and all those kinds of things are important, I think, you know, it's good that this guy isn't, you know, a cardboard cutout of himself. He really is a living, breathing personality that lots of folks don't agree with. Some do. Regardless, he's exciting.
He really is making a name for himself. And right now, that may not be the most popular name, but he's going to be around a long time. See, he's going to get a lot better. And if you can imagine that, he's building a legacy. And I know that sounds corny, but that's what he's doing, Randy.
Well, I look at, there's been guys like him, okay, and a couple that come to mind quickly, Darrell Waltrip.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Had the mouth to go with it.
Okay. And Dale Earnhardt Sr. The problem is, I think that some people's memory of, for instance, Dale Earnhardt Sr., they don't get it. You know, Dale Earnhardt Sr., he was intense, probably as intense as anybody out there. He didn't like people messing with him. He didn't mind, you know, it was okay for him to mess with people, but he didn't like people messing with him. I remember the Jeremy Mayfield, congratulations. He gave Jeremy Mayfield a Pocono,
yes,
right?
Sir.
You
Never
remember that?
Yeah.
But Dale Earnhardt, it wasn't his normal and customary mode to always be in this kind of Kyle Busch mentality. And I think people have got the whole Dale Earnhardt their memory confused. You know, they try to emulate this guy, and this guy had class. And right now, Kyle Busch has none of that.
Yeah, I don't hear him being compared to Dale Earnhardt in that aspect. I mean, certainly the way he drives and some of the things he does, but as far as his overall attitude, I don't hear that. However, it's easy to forget with all of Dale Earnhardt's accomplishments.
Well,
it's easy to forget.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that I think he probably has some Dale Earnhardt type talent, some Tim Richmond type talent, and that's a big statement.
Yes,
I think Tim Richmond may be the most talented NASCAR driver ever of all time, ever. And Lisa says he was cute.
That's
a plus.
That's a bold statement that can be backed up. It really can.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no telling what that guy would have accomplished had he lived.
Saw him in a movie the other night.
Oh, really?
What was the movie with Burt Reynolds? Jim
Stoker
Neighbors.
Ace.
Yeah, man.
That's
yep.
Terrible that I know
Great.
The answer to
no,
that.
No, it's not, because I love that movie. Oh, man, Kyle Petty, Dale Earnhardt. They were pushing these carts, and Kyle and Dale. Yep. Dale was pushing Kyle, and Burt Reynolds fell over on the floor. It was just incredible to see that, man.
Terry Bradshaw was in that movie,
Terry Bradshaw,
it?
Yeah. Yep.
That's just terrible that I know that. Anyway.
No, it's not.
You know, I think probably – just based on length of time and career right now, the most talented driver in NASCAR today, and it's interesting this person called right now, but she reminded me of this, is Jeff Gordon. Okay. But I no way.
Listen to her.
Okay. Wait a minute, Gene. Just be quiet and listen to this. Okay.
You'll make it all right.
I do truly believe that. I think he's probably based on championships, based on wins, based on consistency. I think Jeff Gordon is probably the most talented driver because time has, you know, time proves that right now. Now, if Kyle Busch continues at the rate that he's going in terms of his abilities, you know, I would have to say, at least in the early years, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with, and he could be the most talented in this generation for at least. But with that, hello, Gene, how are you?
Pretty good, and you?
Good.
One thing you forgot to mention with your analysis of Senior against Bush. Senior did have some integrity, and I don't know as old Kyle does.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. I think Dale Earnhardt Sr. did have integrity.
That's what I said.
And the difference right now between Dale Earnhardt Sr. for sure and Kyle Busch is that Dale Earnhardt Sr. had respect. And I'm going to tell you what, this guy right now, Kyle Busch, is losing more respect than he's gaining.
Oh, I know.
For sure.
Yeah.
So
did you enjoy the race yesterday, or shall I say the Demolition Derby?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. I always enjoy a NASCAR short track race when cars end up looking like they've been in a Saturday night feature event.
But, you know, 17 of those cars finished on the lead lap. That's a big number for Martinsville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was I think it's interesting. I didn't get to see as much of the race as I would like. I really was hoping that Junior was going to win the race. You know,
well, what happened there? I mean, obviously the Toyota picks up another one with Denny Hamlin, but I mean, Junior got what, sixth?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well,
he faded.
First thing is he went from the lead to on a yellow flag. He went from the lead to fourth, so he lost four spots in the pits, and that's never good. Now, I haven't seen anybody make any comments about that, but, you know, I don't know what happened there, but he lost some track position in the pits, and that doesn't work. You know, you can't lose track position on a short track.
Tough pit road there at Martinsville, too, buddy.
Yep.
That's a
shame.
Now, what Dale had said in the paper today was that he was on older tires and he was stupid. He thought he could push it instead of saving the car like he knew he should have.
Well, nonetheless,
too aggressive.
I think this is the sixth race of the year.
Yeah.
And he's fourth in the points.
Right.
So, I know he hadn't won a race in a little while, and I think since 2006, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I like is what he's behind the leader. That's very, very doable.
Well, it's early. I mean, you got 20 races to go before this deal is decided. And
I'm so sick of hearing about championship weekend and Homestead.
Well,
I'll tell you what's really got me is these drivers now losing sleep, unable to eat because they're worried about cracking into the top 35. You know, whereas before that wasn't an issue.
Yeah, that's
Jamie McMurray.
That's ridiculous.
The lead story is Jamie McMurray cracks top 35.
Yeah,
not Denny Hamlin winning in a Toyota.
Oh no!
I mean, he found his way into the and he knew where he was points wise towards the end of the race, and he started adjusting his racing style to fit that, not going for the all out win.
Yeah,
that's what's getting me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say I still think...
They're racing a week in advance.
I still think you've got, this top 35 thing is important. And
it is, because it means make it or break it.
But I mean, I think it's important for it to stay around. Okay, I still think it's important for it to be around. Maybe it's not 35, maybe it's 30. I don't know the exact number, but I'm going to say it's really important when you're looking for the kind of money that these guys are looking for to have to field a team. You've got to have some ability to guarantee
and
these
the
guys.
Sponsorship obligations, I mean,
right.
Because they could mean losing a critical sponsor. It's that simple.
Yeah, and so that we're clear, and I realize that making a connection between another sport and racing is probably nuts, but I want you to hear something about another sport. I'm going to take golf for a minute. Now, let me take this all the way through. Okay. All right. The PGA Tour, the Senior PGA Tour, the Nationwide Tour, all have players who are exempt. Okay? There are a certain number of players that if I say I want to play in such and such an event, I'm going to get to play.
Is that past performance?
It's based on, exactly, okay? It's based on a series of criteria that's based on performance. This past Monday, a week from today, a week ago, okay, there were 72 players who attempted to qualify for eight spots in the Ginn Invitational at Ocean Hammock, which ran this past weekend, as you know. So it's not unprecedented. I mean, it's not like this is the only sport on the planet that's doing these things. And I mean, to think about 72 guys who none of them are exempt, none of them, and they all have to try to qualify. They had qualifying day on Monday. Eight guys get in.
And if you want to talk
64,
about
64, go home.
No, I hear you. It's sheer earnings. I mean, you're drawing a good parallel because a guy that finished 75th last year in the PGA Tour, 75th, made about $150,000.
No, on the regular PGA Tour, he made
300.
Well over a million.
Oh, see, that's 75th. Okay. Oh, see, oh, there you go. That's amazing.
Right.
You know? And these are golfers, 75th. He's golfing as good as you are, I'm sure, right?
I would say probably a little better because otherwise I'd be out there, buddy, okay?
Yeah. I hear you, man.
Yeah, and probably more often, too, I think, yeah.
But still, that's just amazing.
Well, I guess the point being is that, you've got to be able to provide a commitment to these guys, and they've got to be able to provide a commitment to their sponsors. And, you know, if you're going to have individuals who make the investment that's required, they got to have some degree of certainty that they're going to be able to have revenue streams. Revenue streams come from purses. Revenue streams come from personal service contracts. Revenue streams are another one is obviously sponsorships, associate sponsors, and so on and so on and so on. And without those kinds of revenue opportunities, you can't make the commitment. And if you can't make the commitment, that all, in my opinion, that weakens the sport. Okay, the sad thing is that the individual teams, the one-offs, are really in jeopardy in this situation. Just this past week, BAM Racing abandons what they were doing because they really had no affiliation. I mean, they were running a Dodge, but they weren't getting any help from anybody. And they run a Toyota, and they get some help.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Wood Brothers, that, in my opinion, that organization is as close to not existing in cup racing as it gets. It's like the Morgan McClure operation. They're as close to being done as they can be. There's more and more of that scenario out there. And that's a byproduct of this top 35, no question. But at the same time, those guys were on the very, 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 very fringe, and they couldn't. I mean, their deal could close up in a hurry, with a little blip. And they can't compete. They can't hire people because the big teams are hiring all the talent and paying all the money. So I hate it, but it's where the sports evolved to.
It's true.
So is it 35?
I'm having a tough time. Is it tough time adjusting to just the because they're adjusting the driving style. But it is just exactly what it was meant to be.
You know what the problem is? Is that you and I, and Gene is one, and there are others, we love the sport just because we love the sport.
Sure.
We love, you and I have more of an amateur-type mentality where we do it because we love it, okay? Jamie McMurray, I'm sure, had that at one point in his life. Today, it's a business for him.
Good point you say that. Allie Owens, we had her on the program a couple of months ago.
Right.
Qualified for the ARCA Remax Series.
Right.
Hometown girl from New Smyrna. Raced at Volusia in a four-cylinder for many years. Moved up with this great opportunity with the ARCA Remax Series. Was at Volusia Saturday night. She's had a leg injury. She wrecked her motorcycle.
Oops.
She's okay, and that's the good news. But Allie has now formed an alliance with Shane Williams from right here in Ormond Beach. She's actually going to be driving a late model at Volusia Speedway Park for pretty much the remainder of this season.
So the ARCA deal's off?
The ARCA deal's not off. She's got some testing deals to do. She's got some race commitments. She's got a few that she has to do contractually. But for the most part, what I'm getting at, talking to Allie, she said, I just can't believe the difference. When she had problems, mechanical difficulty at Daytona with the transmission, she was actually going to the truck to grab a transmission or grab parts and go help. They said, whoa, Allie, stop. You can't do this. Here's what you have to say. You have to go through an actual criteria checklist on after the car breaks, on how to react to this camera, press outlet or whatever it is. She said, I just can't believe how much of a business it is. It really is hard. It's hard to have fun.
Well, you know, we talk about sometimes the cardboard personalities that some of the NASCAR guys have gotten to be. You understand that's all choreographed.
Yes.
Every one of these guys have to go through media training.
Sure.
You know,
that's what
prepared.
She was saying.
Right.
Yeah. But it's hard to have fun, she said. It's that simple.
Well, I'm certainly hopeful that she's able to, you know, to continue to move on and move up. Gene, can you hold with us a minute?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Jamie G, what is happening, buddy?
Oh, well, you know, I hear you talking about short track racing. You know, people forget, you know, what short track racing is anymore on a local basis.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know as well as we do, Jimmy, you get out there down home and you know the purists and the hardcore people are still around. You know that.
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are. I mean, I went to two of the short tracks this weekend. I was in Orlando Friday night, and Saturday night we were at Auburndale with our Daytona Antique Auto Racing cars.
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy, of course, we are anticipating the arrival of the Florida Sprint Car Series for the first time in 2008 at Volusia Speedway Park. Did you know, Saturday night, Otto brought like 7 or 8 race cars out there Saturday night?
Yeah, I heard that.
You guys let them test and practice.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at, we had no push trucks. I wish you guys would have known.
Yeah, I've been known. I could have got you a couple.
I know, man. It was terrible. But we are looking forward to those guys showing up on Saturday night, and that's really going to be exciting. Had some good-looking cars, Otto does. Looks like some guys have really stepped up their programs, but we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, they stepped up. Newer equipment. You know, the quality of drivers, you know, has changed.
Who's in that 21?
Don't go throw any numbers at me.
Oh, come on, Jimmy.
Sure, I don't.
Car.
I really don't.
I'll tell you in a minute. You know him. I know him. We've announced him for years. Gosh, this car is absolutely gorgeous, though. One of the most beautiful sprint cars I've ever seen. I don't care if it's an alcohol burner, 360, 410, whatever it is, it's beautiful. I'll give you his name before we're done.
Yeah, well, okay, because I last show I worked with them was Putnam County, and it was a pretty deep, you know, it was when that track fell apart, and they survived, but never thought we'd ever get a show in up there last year.
You know, a rough racetrack is the hardest on a sprint car of any cars out there because it's so light, the wheelbase is so short, and you know, it's just it's easy to upset a sprint car when you get a rough racetrack.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And, you know, up there, the track had a hole 2 foot deep in turn one, and nobody flipped. So
I've seen sprint cars roll over just because they hit the bump. I mean, that, you know, didn't touch anything but a bump. And that's tough. But anyway, you heard the news, right, Jimmy?
Well,
Billy's
I heard
coming back.
Through my girlfriend in Indiana, I couldn't get on right away.
You mean news is traveling that fast?
Yeah. Well, she was listening for me, and then I finally got on.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, I hear Billy's coming back. We are a very greedy bunch. When I left, people wanted me back.
Now, I hear you. And their prayers were answered, my man.
Well, I guess they were.
Well, you're back
anyways,
with us. All right. Hey, talk about Saturday night real quick at Auburndale. You guys did well?
I had 20 or 21 antiques.
Wow.
And we had a couple of them get together, and they had a little steering. But other than that, you know, it wasn't anything major. Track was real sticky, but a couple of cars jumped that little groove, and we winged a couple antique motors, of all things.
Wow.
So, Wow. They'll be back. We'll be back down in Orlando the second weekend of April. And Joe, I need to talk to you. I got some dates for you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. You want to do it by email, perhaps, or just phone call?
I'll send them to the email right now and then see what you can do.
Sounds good. And I've got your names for Saturday night, so look forward to seeing all the push trucks, Jimmy Jeep's gang.
Okay. And like I say, there'll be a good turnout of sprint cars. I expect 25, maybe 30.
Great.
So, you know, we haven't had any racing, you know, sprints since February, so come on out and smell the alcohol.
Yeah, no doubt. Jimmy Jeep, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it. All right, we'll see you soon.
Great to meet me.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah.
What do you? You got to be careful. You know, you were screaming Mimi. What's that all about?
That's my 2 week old baby kitten.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right.
2 weeks old this past Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, I got him on the bed and getting him to walk around and explore around. So,
You know, how about this? Did you get to watch the truck race on Saturday? How about Dennis Setzer winning in the Dodge, and not just by luck, but, I mean, ran the race and ran up front.
It's a good race.
And he did it in Bobby Hamilton Racing's truck.
Yeah.
And you know, and he and Bobby Hamilton, by the way, were friends.
I know.
What a great tribute to Bobby Hamilton Racing. What a great, and, you know, to have Dennis Setzer win in the Bobby Hamilton truck is even better.
Oh, sure it is.
And you know something, I think, right this minute, this is the Davy and Goliath story with Dodge in that truck series.
Yeah.
Because, number one, there's only, I think, four or five trucks competing. And number two, they're not getting a whole lot of help from Dodge. Dodge made a little trip to the Arrington organization.
But Randy, Dodge blazed the trail in the truck series 10 years ago.
Every new manufacturer that comes on board blazes the trail of the truck series. Just figure that one out.
No, you're right.
Okay.
They did that.
Are you trying to say they're the guinea pigs?
I'm just saying that it's always a good thing to be the new guy in town coming to the truck series. I'll put it that way. Okay. I mean, I think, you know, they want you in, and you get, you got a new body. It's a little different. They're not used to it, so you get a little help.
That's true.
Yeah. But Dodge doesn't spend a lot of money in their truck program or a lot of energy. And they did give it a little help, and it paid off. And I'm glad Dennis Setzer, just by way of information here, when we did our very first Race for Kids' Sake at the New Smyrna Speedway, Dennis Setzer was the first driver to say yes and donate his time and his energy and talent to that event. For at that time, we benefited the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Volusia County.
Right, right.
And Dennis Setzer was the first guy that when I called, he said yes, and I went to the big track and met him, and he reaffirmed and said he'd be there, and he was there on time. He had a big time. He smiled all the time. And just it was such a great experience and a great event for everybody, and he helped make it happen.
Did you notice in the truck series, of the top four, two of them were right. All four were different manufacturers.
Well, that's good.
And Kenny Strader finished fourth in a Toyota.
In a Toyota, yep.
At Rick Crawford in a Ford. Mancraft and the Chevy and Dennis Setzer and the Dodge.
You know, as many different kind of race cars as Kenny Schrader's driven. I think he's driven them all. Dodge,
yeah.
Chevrolet, Toyota,
yeah.
Ford. I remember driving
a
Kenny Dunlavy's car.
He drove a Buick.
Driven them all. Right. Hey, yeah. Gene, we got this thing lighting up like a Christmas tree. And,
okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to take three before we go to Rick Esherman. Rick, I hope you don't mind, my man.
Okay, go ahead. Give us, where are we going there? Are you helping us or are you hurting us?
So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you,
Gene. We appreciate you listening.
See you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Right.
Okay. You know.
And Rick, you still with us?
He's not up there.
All right, we're going to go to line three on trackside tonight, Mark.
Hello there.
Hello, this is John. How are you?
Hey, John.
Hey, got a couple of questions. The points thing, I listened to Kyle Petty doing the commentary stuff, and he was all for it. He said he did not believe in it. and I don't know if you've covered that at all, but this 35 in points, what do you thought? To me,
you said he did or did not believe it.
Did not. He strongly was against it.
Against the top 35 points being locked in?
Yes, and the people trying to swap points.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
well,
let me.
Kyle's never in the top 35.
Well, no, he was in the top 35 all last year, by the way. Okay.
Right.
What I think he's not for, I think he agrees with the top 35, unless that's something new, because I've talked to him before about this. But what he doesn't agree with is the switching, being able to move points from one to another.
Yeah, he's, most of the time
what, car to car, driver to driver.
Right, owner's points.
I see.
So okay, so much so, I think, I don't know if anybody heard it over the weekend, but Kyle said, look, I dug the hole. I've got to dig my way out of the hole. And and so they're not attempting to switch owner's points.
Well, why not just, you know, come, qualify, or you're out?
Well, I think here's, yeah, okay, we can talk about here's how it used to be. Earlier I covered this. I think if you come, qualify, or you're out, I think the problem is that there's too big, you're asking sponsorships, you know, the UPSs of the world and the FedExes of the world and all of these people that spend millions and millions and millions of dollars, that you're asking for a commitment from them, Budweiser, you know, on and on, Miller, and
right,
they want some guarantee, some ability to know that they're going to be involved. And the team owners are also saying, look, I've got to build 100,000 square foot race shops, and I've got to employ 220 people, and I've got to know that we're going to be able to be in the show. We've got, you know, some certain performance, that's fine, but I've got to be, if in order for me to make the commitment to be here long term, I got to have some sort of a guarantee. And that's what this ultimately breaks out.
And it does. The money of it does drive the sport. I agree there. But I also do, you know, I'm from the old school. You are one of those run what you brung. You're either in or you're out.
Well, of course, most of the run what you brung is all gone. We don't do run what you brung anymore. We all got to bring the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Literally. Another thing, I've noticed Junior has really, really, really improved this year. Do you think it's just that he's that pumped up, or he's got the best of the best equipment, or he may be getting a little of the better engineering from the team owner?
I think you combine one of the best race car drivers with the best race car team, and you get this kind of performance. That's that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people could say what they want, and they could question all about Junior's ability and Junior this and Junior that, but Junior's got some of the best stuff, and Junior's one of the best guys behind the wheel.
And so with a certain level,
he doesn't get any better now.
A lot of relief coming out of Junior as well. I mean, he's very comfortable, very relaxed. I mean, there is pressure to perform well, which he's done. Nonetheless, I think there's just a lot that he's concentrating on other than, you know, personal issues.
I think there's, personally, I think there's more pressure on Junior to perform at Hendrick. I'm not saying by Hendrick. I'm saying at Hendrick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Than there was at DEI. You know, he had the excuses to fall back on at DEI that said, you know, we had lackluster equipment, leadership, the whole thing, and plus not to mention we had the family turmoil.
I don't like
right,
my step.
Right. Lack of commitment all the way around,
right.
Really.
And now, how do you explain, you know, Mark Martin's obvious success, Eric Almirola driving the car when Mark Martin isn't?
Correct.
You know, they've stepped their program up, too. I think that's probably, in my opinion, there's a lot of Richard Childress in that one. But
right.
That's my own opinion.
Another thing I was wondering, Roush Fenway, I mean, they have been right there with the Hendricks and the Childresses for years now. It seems like they're very inconsistent. Is there a lack of funds going towards that? Or?
Oh, no, man, that's one of the most well-funded organizations in the sport. And you can't. It's not a funding issue. I think it's probably still some engineering stuff. I can't imagine that there's any lack of commitment because Jack Roush certainly is a, you know, he's an intense competitor and
right.
demands performance. But it's not all his money anymore, and I think there's probably a little bit less you know, not quite such an iron hand.
And he seems frustrated.
Well, he's frustrated. He's spending his time as a detective looking for parts that he thinks Michael Waltrip stole. I mean,
well, he did. Michael Waltrip stole it. I mean, not Michael Waltrip himself,
right.
But it's kind of like.
Did Michael say he'd find out who did it?
Yeah, here we go again. I mean, I don't even get ready to say. How many times can Michael Waltrip say, I didn't know?
Boy, he's so.
Before, you know, and we returned it when we found it out. You know, here, I don't know if you read the quote, but he says, if you ever looked behind these pit boxes, across the back of the pit boxes, and seen all the stuff hanging on the back of the pit box, I said, that's fine. I accept that, except you should know which one's your pit box.
Right.
You know? I think you know. I just think you know. Yeah, but anyway.
One other thing.
Okay.
Truck race. Just see, Mike Wallace's daughter was in it. Did you see that?
She was. She finished 17th.
She did awesome. They showed Tony Stewart giving her pointers and very welcomed. I was really surprised with that.
Everybody that knows her, that I know that knows her, thinks she's one of the brightest female race car drivers in terms of talent that they've seen in a long time. So I think she's got a shot.
Right. And then there's one other guy. I hear there's Randy Dye. He's going to be back on the track. Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Are you?
Yeah, we hopefully we'll get the car finished or nearly finished this week, and then we'll do some testing. We don't want to go out there and get in anybody's way, so we won't go out there until we're ready. I'm sure the car will be in better condition than the driver, but hopefully we get them both together at the same time, and we'll go out and race too.
John, we're going to broadcast that live.
You bet.
All right.
Hey, I wish you the best of luck, and I hope Billy's doing well, and God bless, eh?
Thank you.
Well. Appreciate
Thanks,
John.
It. Bye-bye.
Good
Rick.
Call.
Okay.
Rick, are you still there, bro?
Yeah, guys. How's it going?
Man, that is so cool of you to hang in there.
Wow. You won the Patience Award.
I'm a diehard.
World of Outlaws, Pike County Speedway in Louisiana, Cajun country. You guys had a little threat of rain, man, but you were able to get it in, and I understand it was a good one.
Yeah, really good. 36 cars, a stellar field. I mean, Jimmy Mars came all the way from Wisconsin.
Wow.
Rick Briggs. Here came all the way from Pennsylvania. We had guys from Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Kentucky. It was a really good race. And then Moyer, geez, oh, Pete, what can you say about him?
Where did he start, Rick?
He started in the number four position, and it didn't take long. He took the lead on lap two, and Scott Blomquist was all over him all race long. Babb come up through the field a little bit. So did Rick Eckert, Dale Lanigan. It was a very, very entertaining race. It wasn't a one-laner who followed the lead of the whole hum 100.
Wow. So, I mean, a lot of this, Billy Moyer, we saw the performance during the Dirt Car Nationals as well as East Bay's Winter Nationals. And, you know, this 21 car in this new chassis, you can't say enough about it. Of course, we all talk about the Blomquist chassis. And, you know, Randy certainly has his opinions on, you know, just how important that chassis is and why you win races. But what is different about Billy's chassis? And we're going to get him on the radio here in the next couple of weeks.
I'm telling you, I think it's the same concept of what Blomquist did. Blomquist took basically a Rayburn and put his own parts and maybe a different bar here or a different bar there. And the same thing with Moyer. He took a Victory Circle out of California and did his own thing to it just from driving experience. You know, 25 years, Joe, you learn a lot on a racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
But seeing Blomquist get beat by his own chassis and Jimmy Owens and, you know, shock tires and shocks, and that's a whole new ball game. It's such a combination. It's so hard to figure out.
You know, the chassis, I you know, I don't want to minimize. I've never doubted the quality of the Scott Blomquist chassis. I've doubted the value of the Scott Blomquist chassis because of what you tell me, but both of you have told me what they cost. And I just think there's other alternatives, and a lot of that, you know, you still got to set it up. You've still got to understand the track surface that you're racing on, and somebody's still got to push the throttle and turn the wheel. And
you got to be a driver, too, no doubt about it.
Right.
That's right.
So, I mean, and I'm not taking anything, and I'm certainly not trying to discourage anybody who's thinking about it who would be on the list that Scott Blomquist would sell one to, but, you know, it's got to be the total package.
Yeah, And he's not just selling them to any driver.
No, I know. I got that. I don't think I could make the list.
Yeah. Selection is true. But, Joe, I'll tell you what. This season we've had three races, and it is so hard to get in the top ten. I actually ran a batch of statistics for you, and there's only nice. Two drivers that have had top tens in three races.
Wow.
And you know,
in a whole batch now.
That's amazing. What are you doing, Joe? He's conjuring up memories of Speed Weeks, isn't he?
No, yeah.
Billy Moyer and Darrell Lanigan, those are the only two drivers to get a top 10 in all three races.
And you know, you've got some interesting guys running for Rookie of the Year here in 2008, and right now it's the Doctor, Danny Johnson, leading the points.
Coffeyville, Kansas driver Al Perkey, we're not sure if he's going to be able to do the whole deal. He's had sponsor problems. We basically had three drivers out of the state of New York.
What was that guy's name?
Danny Johnson, the Doctor.
Okay.
And then Joe Isabel and Vic Coffey. That's our three rookies. And it could end up coming down to the last race with these guys because they're all about equally matched.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you got Vic Coffey involved, he's going to percolate around the top 10.
Oh, here we go.
You know, here's a guy that you're just not going to see him drip too far down. He's not going to drip too far down in the points. He's going to be just fine.
Actually, he has spilled his points pretty good so far.
Oh, no.
I can hear Sandy.
I'm going to go to the restroom right now. Okay, because when the two of you guys get started, this is just going to be.
It's really unfortunate because his dirt card now. Nationals program was really ground up back here in 2008, and he just didn't do that great.
The other thing is, too, Joe, if you take a look at Vic Coffey, I think he can get a handle on this Rookie of the Year. You'll end up seeing his mug on our website.
See, he gets the best of me every
time. What about the beans that are loose in the floorboard? You know, that's...
He's the easiest guy to talk about, if you can imagine, during Speed Weeks.
Yeah, you can filter in any kind of conversation.
Nice. There we go. This is the Joe and Rick show, okay?
Where are you guys going next, Rick?
I know you guys don't have much time. I'll break it down quick. I wanted to go real quick through the top 10, and it's surprising, Joe. Of course, Moyer leading the points. Josh Richards already 28 behind. Rick Eckert is third. Darrell Lanigan, Chubb Frank, top five. Then Steve Francis. Eddie Carrier Jr. is seventh. Shannon Babb, Clint Smith. John Blankenship is 10th. How about that for parity?
That is chock full of talent right there.
Absolutely. You can put that in the can.
Where are you going next?
Oh, man. No, really, you guys are certainly, spring is here. Racetracks are starting all over the country, and this is certainly the most exciting point of the 2008 racing season when, you know, a lot of the colder states are finally getting thawed out a little bit. Well, they should be. I mean, it's April 1st tomorrow, and certainly Minnesota and Ohio getting snow right now. But nonetheless, it's a great time to be racing in any season. This is when we really get cranked up, and you guys are ready for your campaign.
And that too, Joe, we're going to open up another track next week, and it's going to be Farmer City Raceway, the Illini 100, 20,000 to win again, 100-lap affair. And I'm telling you, we'll probably have a good 60, 70 cars, $1,500 to start. That's what it was this weekend. That's what it is next weekend, 20,000 to win, 10,000 for second. How can you not go to a race? I don't care if it's 50 degrees or 100 degrees with a purse like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And how you doing driving that big rig, man?
So far, so good. Kept her in between the lines, stayed out of the ditch. Everything's good so far.
All right, buddy. Rick, I tell you, we really appreciate you hanging in there with us and keeping us up to date on the World of Outlaws.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joe, Randy, you guys always have a great show. Randy, good luck in your racing endeavors. And, Joe, you can tell me what the truth is, because I know when Randy talks about it, it's a little different than what it actually happened.
I appreciate that, Rick. Thank you.
See you,
dude.
Thank you.
Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Just so you know, during the Dirt Car Nationals, when we're doing this, I stay very composed. Here on the program, I lose it, man.
Well, you know, it's good that you stay composed, because I stood up there one night with you guys and listened to you, and I was decomposing quickly. Okay, it was just really bad. I mean, it's funny. I don't mean it that way.
No, I know. Yeah. And it's clever, you know. I mean, there are some drivers that you have to – they're very obscure, the references. And I think maybe one out of the 10,000 people there get it. But if that one person gets it, it, then that's all there is to it.
It happens in rapid fire.
No, it does.
You know, I mean, my goodness, you get seven. You said seven things, and then finally the first thing you went, did they really say that?
You got to catch up.
And then you go, here we go again, you know.
Oh, man. He's something else, and really just an asset to the World of Outlaws Late Models, and love working with him. Hey, our late models ran Saturday night. Rob Underwood. You know the name,
absolutely,
dude.
Absolutely.
Since the asphalt days. Yeah, man. Rob Underwood. You know, he's put this 09 car together at the beginning of 2007. They've really struggled. Obviously knows what he's doing. He was, and I don't know if he still is, a driving instructor for the Richard Petty Driving Experience. So, okay. And Rob finally picked up his first victory in that late model.
Is it purple and white?
Sure is.
Yeah, that's his trademark colors. By the way, you know, you talk about colors. You'll see some different colors on our race car this year. It's not going to be what you...
Are you going to change it up? Or?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
So you're going to, like, race to race, not race to race, but you'll do a few races.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Changing from your...
It's changing from what you're typical, what you used to see us. You won't, you'll notice the number's the same.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's about it.
And your signature black and blue is not as prevalent.
This is black and orange and yellow and white and just a whole lot of different colors.
Good deal. I look forward to seeing it.
And I do one more time. I know we talked about this. I talked about Greg Melnick, and I don't know if you've seen Greg Melnick's handiwork on dirt cars, but you know, he's done the whole car for me in the past. This year we have Tim from Hawkeye Graphics that's doing the work, and has done a marvelous job. I mean, really impressive stuff. Did the trailer and all, and I gave Greg a picture. Actually, it was kind of like a computer, not a picture, but a idea. And I gave him a picture of this thing and said, here, can you paint this helmet? Can you paint this helmet for me? And they'll make it look like the truck and the trailer and the
right,
car
right.
And all that.
Kind of correlate with it.
Oh, my goodness.
First shot you're having.
Unbelievable. I mean, this guy is, I can't even tell you how good it is. I should have brought it so you
bring
can
it
see
in. It. Yeah, I want to check that out.
You know, and of course, I got the helmet. It's a Simpson helmet, and I'm still a Simpson
good,
guy.
Good.
They just give you a shell that'll scare the heck out of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. You get it all done, then you ship it back, and then they you know, they make it work. But
right.
Greg Melnick, unbelievable job. When you see it, you just and he did it all by hand.
Wow.
It's just off the chart good. You got rolling.
How you been, Roland Villa?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Wonderful. What's happening?
I have absolutely no racing news, a complaint, and a question.
A complaint?
Okay. First with the no news.
Complaint. My complaint is with Randy Dye giving Kyle Busch way too much credit for being a good driver. What it is, these nowadays, these cookie-cutter cars, he's got a good team, a fast car. Listen, Denny Hamlin, look, the recent winner. There's a lot of really good drivers out here. You're giving them way too much credit way too soon.
Well, I just, as I said, I'd say, you know, time will be the test of all of this. But in this currently, his ability to drive three different kinds of race cars, he ran at the Snowball Derby. He's run at other, you know, a variety of different kinds of race cars. I think I still say currently he's one of the most talented guys the sport has. But there's where that's, I mean, period, end. I have nothing, you know, that's it. I can't come up with anything else particularly great to say or good to say because I think his lack of respect for other guys, the investment that other people have, their position on the race. I mean, I can go on and on. You heard it earlier.
Yeah, I know. You know. And I'm with you on
okay.
that. You know, he'll grow up someday. A lot of these young drivers.
Well, I tell you what, he's going to grow up or he's going to find the back of somebody's trailer.
He just hasn't hit the wall hard enough yet to get enough.
Well, I hope that's not what it takes. I hope it's somebody one-on-one, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
And my question is, what's coming up at Volusia Speedway Park? Give me I almost said Volusia County Speedway.
Yeah, well, that's
I still do that, man.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, Saturday night, Florida Sprint Cars rolling. They're going to roll in with our UMP Sportsman, Street Stocks, four cylinders, and Mini Stocks. Then, of course, Next big event, we will move into Mother's Day. Mom, we love you event, UMP late model modified sportsman, all divisions.
No. What that's for is the day that all when all the race drivers are yelling, you mother, you.
No. Okay,
well, that's every Saturday night. Yeah, man. Hero Night is on May 24th. Our salute to the military and law enforcement. Yeah, man, and fire rescue. We'll have all of our divisions there as well. Summer Sizzler was the winter warm-up. It was rained out twice. That's going to take place May 31st. And the next big event that I think we need to talk about is the $1,000 to win mini stock event brought to you by A&R Machine, Alan Redman and the gang, plus UMP late model. So mini stocks with $1,000 on the line in just 2 weeks.
Excellent. Man, I can't wait to get back to see the dirt race.
What are you doing, Roland? You're not doing anything on Saturday night.
I've just been busy enough to not be there, but I plan to be there. Hey, my old TV show on Bright House NASCAR this week, it's morphed into a program called, I guess, Race Day or something like that.
Race Week with Buddy Pittman and Glenn Diemer.
And get this. They couldn't replace me with one person. It took two people to replace me.
Well, Glenn and Buddy, I'll tell you what, they're working hard. I talked to Glenn today, and he gave me, he just needed a little bit of information about the race of Saturday night. Yeah. But, man, they're scouring these tracks. How is the production itself? I've not had a chance to see it, Roland.
It's pretty doggone good. It's what I tried to get Bright House to do during the last year. I'm glad that we at least planted the seed and we got a program going, because besides radio, it's another outlet where we can kind of see what's going on in Central Florida racing. And man,
tell me the format. Is Glenn and Buddy behind a desk with a green screen, or what's going on?
Yeah, they got a green screen, and then Bright House built them a new set for the green screen, and they stand up and they just pitch it back and forth on different races and different venues. So.
That's
great. It's very good. It's very clever, and that's really what needed to be done.
You know, Glenn and Buddy, these are old, you know, they are seasoned veterans in the TV business, and I'm glad they're working. That's bottom line.
Me too. I love it, and I applaud it, but very, very good. Anyway, I wanted to say hi to you guys, let you know I'm still around, and I'll be seeing both of you soon.
Roland, look forward to it, man. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
All right, buddy.
Well, I'm going to give a little, I guess kind of a, I have a thought. And I have a feeling that you might see a different driver in the 45 this weekend in Texas.
Really?
Yep, I got a feeling. I'm not saying it's permanent, just saying I think it's coming.
How is Bobby's deal? Do you think that talent is, I'm not going to say being wasted, but you know, I'm certain that he thought he would be in a better position in this part of his life than he is.
Well, first off, I have a general idea of some of the elements of his contract. He's not in a bad position.
Okay, yeah, I got you. I hear you.
Secondly, I think you got to remember something. Bobby Labonte left Joe Gibbs, and when he left Joe Gibbs, he really wasn't doing anything. You know, it was kind of like, hey, he was the forgotten guy in the
And this was Tony's heyday. Tony was coming up.
And so I think, I will say this, I think Bobby Labonte has been really good for and with Petty Enterprises, because a lot of things have changed since Bobby Labonte's got there. You know, they're in a new shop in Mooresville. Robbie's there. You've got Jeff Went. I just went blank. His crew chief. They've hired and brought together more people. And now you hear, and I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion, that Petty Enterprises is going to bring in a big-time investor, not Gillette Everham, but another. And I think that all of that, you know, the Bobby Labonte element is one of those things that's driving this Petty Enterprise, including what I'm guessing. Please understand, I'm guessing about you know, whether or not how much longer Kyle Petty is going to truly drive the race car. And I think that whole competitive mentality, here's what I'm saying. I think the whole, they have a, we're going to be competitive mindset, and whatever that takes. And that includes, if it means going to Mooresville, the shop, so they can get better people, you know, the whole thing, investor for more money to buy more equipment, the whole package. I think Bobby Labonte he helped start that there. So I think Bobby Labonte's in a pretty good position. I know he's in this is his contract year. I suspect they're going to re-sign him. That's my guess. Again, I don't know that, but I'm It's at least my hope. And I think it's everybody's hope. I think it's Bobby's hope, and I think it's Penny's
hope. Yeah.
So I think he's in a better position than what you may think.
Real quick, NHRA was at Baytown, Texas. Antron Brown, first driver ever to win in a pro stock and a top fueler. He defeated Larry Dixon, and he's only the second black driver ever to win next to J.R. Todd in NHRA history. Big news right there out of Texas.
That's a cool thing.
That's a real cool
thing. Yeah, that is a real cool thing. To win both of those, and yeah, that's a great thing.
Thanks to RealRacingUSA.com, Jack Smith, and the whole gang. That's all I want to say, Randy.
Yeah, Jack's been he's been a great friend to us, and we really appreciate him broadcasting our program. And again, everybody, we'll be back next Monday night. We'll do it all over again, and we look forward to talking with you. Good night, everybody.